Take your Bibles, open up to Daniel chapter 4. We've been talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. We've been talking about how God has been dealing with him in his life. And Nebuchadnezzar has had a couple, three encounters with God in the first three chapters of the book of Daniel. And he's beginning to understand who the God of the Jews are, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's beginning to understand who that God is. But I believe in chapter 4 of Daniel, it gets real personal for him. And I believe that in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar actually comes to God as a believer. He's going to have another dream in Daniel chapter 4. And it's going to be a dream about himself. And we're going to talk about it, and I know how far we'll get tonight. But God's going to take his reason away from him. He's the ruler of the world, but God's going to take his mind away from him. And he's going to live with the beast of the field for 7 years. And then God's going to restore his kingdom. Again, the book of Daniel pictures the things that are going to happen in the end times. I believe the fact that Nebuchadnezzar went and lived with the beast pictures another beast that's going to rule in the tribulation. And he's going to do things that remind people more of a beast than of a human being. In Daniel chapter 2, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was prophetical. It showed the course of history from his kingdom on. The dream in Daniel chapter 4, again, is more personal. It shows that God can set up and God can take down rulers of this world. Now, again, as he loses his mind, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists have looked at this. Christian psychologists and Christian psychiatrists have looked at it, and they say the kind of insanity that he suffered as God took away his mind, they would call hysteria. And there's two main signs of that disease. One is excessive emotionalism, and the other one is extreme egotism. And we're going to see both of those things as we look at this dream. So, Daniel chapter 4, let's start with the first three verses. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Now, again, when he says that, he's talking to those that dwell in his kingdom, because he's ruling the whole earth at this point. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, in all actuality, these first three verses of Daniel chapter 4, from a chronological standpoint, probably belong at the end of the chapter, because Nebuchadnezzar is given his personal testimony, and he's given his testimony after what happens to him, as described in chapter 4, after it happens. You compare what he says in those first three verses to verse 29 of chapter 3, where the Bible says, and again, this is after the three Hebrew boys came out of the fiery furnace with the fire had no effect on him. He said, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Again, he's a defender of God. He's saying there's no other God that can do what the God of these three Hebrew boys has just done. There's no other God that can do that. And so in that verse, he expresses a conviction. He has a conviction that the God of the Hebrews, there's no other God that can deliver his people like that God can. But in the first three verses of chapter 4, he's given a personal testimony, because something had happened to him. In chapter 3, it was a decree. In chapter 4, it was the decision that he made. In chapter 3, it was a conviction. In chapter 4, again, I believe it was a conversion. He's sending a message of peace to all the people, nations, and languages of the world, or of his kingdom. Now, I would tell you, they already had peace. They had peace before he sends this greeting of peace. They had peace because he ruled the world. He brought everybody under his rule. And it was a peace that was forced on people by his military might. And the peace was kept. And so he's not talking about peace between people. The peace that he's talking about in chapter 4 is the peace of heart that comes from knowing that you're right with God. It's actually, not a peace between people. It is a peace with God. And he says there that the Most High God hath wrought toward me. He says, I want to tell you what God did in my life. He's not talking about what he did in Daniel's life or in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 is going to talk about what God did in his life. The best witness that we can have to other people about who God is and what God can do is to share with them what God has done in our life. That's the best witness that we can have. God, when God saved us, we ought to think like the Apostle Paul. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We have a so great, Brother Leroy, a so great salvation that Hebrews talks about. And we ought never to get over it. And so when we talk to other people about Christ, when we talk to other people about their soul, we ought to go back to what God did in our lives to save us. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar said. Hey, I want to tell you what God did in my life. And again, that's why I enjoy testimony so much. I enjoy reading magazines, and I read a lot of Christian publications that talks about what God's doing. But more than, and I enjoy those things, but I enjoy much more coming to this place and hearing people speak with their own mouths and tongues and hearts and minds and saying, let me tell you what God did for me this week. Let me tell you what God worked in my life. And so that's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. In verse 3, he testifies to God's signs, wonders, and dominion. And he said, look, I rule the world, but God is above me. His dominion is more than mine. His kingdom is over mine. He's making a confession here. Again, he's never done this before. He's talked about what God has done as he told Daniel his dream and the meaning of it. He's talked about what God has done for other people. But in chapter 4, he's talking about what God has done for him. Now, look at verses 4 and 5. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. So, 8 times in these 2 verses, he uses the first person pronoun, I, me, mine. If you count them in the chapter, there's 22 of them. Okay? So you talk about the type of insanity that he had. You can see his egotism as he's talking about himself. He said, I had a dream. And I had a dream when everything was going good. It wasn't when I had trouble in the kingdom. It wasn't when I had rebellion in the kingdom. It wasn't when I had trouble among my counselors. Hey, he says, I was in my house and flourishing in my palace. Everything was going good. Everything was happening just the way that it was supposed to happen. That's when this dream came. And he said, when this dream came, it made me afraid, and it troubled me. Now, the dream he had in chapter 2, there's nothing that indicates that he was afraid of what was of that dream. Daniel, talked about he was the head of gold and the things that was going to happen after him. But there was nothing in the dream in chapter 2 that made him afraid. He says, I had this dream, and it troubled me. And I was afraid. And again, I referred to this earlier. We as Christians can have an inner peace even when the world has fallen apart. Our world has fallen apart. We can have an inner peace because we know the one that holds the world in his hands. We know the one that controls the circumstances of the world. We know the one that when he walked the face of the earth, he could say to the raging sea, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. And so the world can, we can live in the middle of the storm and we can have that inner peace that only comes from knowing God. Here was a king that had the peace on the outside but had no peace on the inside. He said, "I had this dream and I was troubled. I was afraid." And again, it was a time when all the circumstances in his kingdom were good. No troubles, no trials, no storms. But he said, I didn't have the inner peace. Now, look at verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof." So he did it a little bit different than he did in chapter 2. Remember in chapter 2, he called the same group of advisors in. He says, "Hey, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and what it means." Of course, they couldn't do either one. They said, "Hey, nobody can tell you what you dreamed except God." And he said, "Well, if you don't tell me what I dreamed and what it means, I'm going to cut you in pieces and tear down your houses." Well, this time he did a little bit different. He called the same group of men in and says, "Okay, I'm going to tell you what I dreamed this time, and I want you to tell me what it means." Well, they couldn't do that either. They had no idea what this dream meant. Now, it's God that gives dreams. It was God behind the two dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had. Only God could tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dreams meant. I mean, when Daniel came in and said, "Hey, I'll tell you what you dreamed and what it means, but it's not me, it's my God. I can't tell you what you dreamed on my own, but my God can. He's the one that sent you the dream. I can't tell you what it means on my own, but my God can, because he's the one that gave it to you." And so, called these same guys in, told them the dream. They said, "Sorry, king, we have no idea what it means." Verse 8, "But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, 'O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. So Daniel's finally called in. And now, again, I wonder why he wasn't called in at the beginning. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar wanted to see what these guys say and test it by what Daniel said. I don't know. But for some reason, he wasn't in the first group that was called in. But Nebuchadnezzar had come to rely on Daniel. Daniel had proven himself. I mean, just in chapter 2, telling Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed and the meaning of it. But again, I think Daniel had proven himself beyond that. Nebuchadnezzar had put him in charge of some of the kingdom. I think Daniel fulfilled that trust. He was a good sub-ruler under Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had learned that the spirit of his God had filled Daniel. And since interpretations, and Daniel had told him, "Hey, interpretations and dreams don't belong to men, they belong to God. Only God can tell you what they mean." And so Nebuchadnezzar said, "Daniel, I know that the spirit of your God dwells in you. I know you told me that it was your God, a while ago, that told you what I dream and what I meant. I've had another dream. I want you to tell me what it means." So in the next few verses, Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel what he dreamed. Verse 10, "Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And again, Daniel's going to tell him in a minute that he's the tree. And so, again, this tree fills the earth. He was the ruler of the world at this point. And so, it says the tree reached to heaven. There was nobody on earth mightier than he was. It reached to the ends of the earth. Nobody on earth that had the influence, the authority that Nebuchadnezzar had. He took care. I mean, he took care of those underneath him. I mean, it says there, the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and the beast dwelt in the shadow, and they fed from the fruit of the tree. His kingdom ruled the earth, and everybody took rest. And again, they were conquered, but they took rest. They found nourishment. I mean, they lived because Nebuchadnezzar ruled the world. They were subjects of his kingdom. He took care of them, all right? So he was the tree. He goes on in verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now, there's a lot of disagreement as to who the watcher and the holy one were. Some people think it's angels. Some people think it was the archangel. Some people think it was God. I think God was one of them. God was the holy one. I'm not sure who the watchers were. But they came down from heaven. He cried aloud, the holy one, and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. So the tree was going to be cut down. Those that took refuge in it and under it were going to be scattered. There was going to be no more fruit to eat. Verse 15, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. So, here, that's the dream. That's the dream that Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel. That's what I had. This is the dream that troubled him. Now, in the scripture, a tree can represent a man or a kingdom. In this case, it represented both. The tree represented Nebuchadnezzar. It represented the kingdom of Babylon. The watcher and the holy one. Again, God was the holy one. I'm not sure who the watcher was. But God, he came down. He said, hew down, cut down the tree. Cut the tree down. Let the beast that rest under its shadow, that find shade and its shadow be scattered. Let the fowls that dwell in the boughs of the tree be scattered. And put a band of iron and brass around the stump. Okay? Put the stump in captivity, so to speak. Let the heart of the tree be changed to that of a beast. And let it until seven times pass over it. 7 years pass over it. Most Bible scholars believe it was 7 years. Okay? Again, going to the tribulation, 7 years. Seven years for Nebuchadnezzar. So for 7 years, he was going to lose his kingdom. For 7 years, he was going to have the heart of a beast. He was not going to have a man's mind. He was going to dwell as an animal. Okay, so that's the dream. Now we're out of time. So when we get together next week, we'll talk about what Daniel told the king it meant. It wasn't as easy to tell the king this time what his dream meant as it was the last time. Because last time, he was talking about Nebuchadnezzar as that head of gold. This time, it was more personal for Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.